Welcome to Miracle Business Breakthrough. This is your host, Amy Yamada, and I'm so excited to have you tuning in to our speaker series. And today, I'm really, really excited to introduce our featured speaker, Marsh Engel. Marsh Engel is an acclaimed, multi-published, and award-winning entrepreneur, and women and men from across the United States, Europe, and Canada have sought out Marsh to make spectacular leaps in their career and business while inspiring transformation in their personal lives. She's able to identify hidden talents, undervalued strengths, and overlooked opportunities, and the creative blocks that stand in the way. Marsh has also been nominated amongst the Power 100 Women in Entertainment and named Who's Who in American Women. She's the success leader for over 25,000 coaches, authors, small business leaders, and career professionals. And if that isn't enough, the reason I'm introducing Marsh to all of you is that she is so passionate about providing you with the guidance, resources, and inspiration to zero in on your greatest value and find ways to bring it to life in significant ways as fast, energetically, and enthusiastically as possible. So, Marsh, welcome. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, Amy, thank you. Thank you for the invitation and thrilled to be here with everyone today. It's a good day to create.
Yes, yes, and I really have enjoyed our conversations leading up today. I feel like you're right here in the same room with me and we could just talk for hours and hours. You just have that kind of energy about you. So just know that I feel your positive energy and warmth, and I'm so glad you're a part of our series.
Thank you. Thank you.
So I would love to just have you take us on a little journey with you. And I know you've got so many stories that we'll have to kind of pick and choose our favorite ones, right? If you could take us back in time and share some of your own miracle business breakthroughs that have gotten you to where you are today, we would love to hear them.
Yeah, thank you, Amy. You know, I was just, as you were asking that question, I was kind of laughing to myself because I can remember one time a colleague of mine said, if my life had been like yours, I'd be successful like you as well. And I had to pause and I said, what do you mean? What does that mean? Do you think that I had some kind of special something or some kind of special treatment or some kind of special education or some kind of special something happening that makes me different than you? Because the fact is, I'm not any different. And I think that we all have those opportunities and those possibilities within us. It's really, Amy, about identifying what our uniqueness is. And sometimes that uniqueness shows up through these crazy, wild, incredible life experiences that we're given. So it can, you know, I could take us all the way back to when I first became an entrepreneur. Well, actually, when I first became an entrepreneur was when I was a tiny little girl doing garage sales. And I know you're going to laugh, Amy, but I got to tell you, I think when I was about 5 or 6 years old, and I ran those garage sales in my front yard just like a business. I mean, I had a cash register, and I had receipt books, and I mean, I was playing business. And then as I became, you know, in my late teens, I opened a franchise or a collection of pizza shops, okay? Imagine me throwing pizza dough in the air, at, you know, running these pizza shops. But these were my first entrepreneurial ventures early on. And, no, and then I could take you even, like, midstream to when I was about, I don't know, maybe 15, earlier than that probably, 8, 10 years old. And I did these talent shows in my neighborhood, right? And I called them Queen for a Day events. And any of you that can remember Queen for a Day TV, that was a long, 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 long time ago, so I'm really dating myself. But I did these Queen for a Day events, and I honored the kids in the neighborhood. I told stories about them. I did a little newsletter. Essentially, my first entrepreneurial venture in that way is a lot like what I do today. You know, when I launched Amazing Woman's Day, and that became a global initiative, and really helping people stand in their power and seeing their gifts and talents in ways that they could share them with the world. I really did that early on. So I think in that way, what I'm saying is that my early life experience easily pointed me to a love of playing business. And I say playing business because, you know, business can be extremely serious and needs to be very structured, and we need to have our systems in place. But it can also be, as an entrepreneur, it can be a lot of fun. It can be filled with creativity, filled with joy, filled with collaboration, filled with a sense of fulfillment. And I think that we have to remember that along the way. So I could take us all the way back to my young days, but I think for today's conversation, might be about, gosh, what do we want to talk about? I think it's about when I did my first marketing agency. I had been in television. Before that, I'd been in radio. And I was understudying in television to be one of the first general managers with Gilmore Broadcasting Company. I was in Evansville, Indiana, and I had been picked out of this team of sales representatives to understudy to be a general manager. And this would be one of the first women general managers for Gilmore Broadcasting, a very big deal.
Wow.
I got to tell you, though, Amy, my heart was not in it.
Mm.
I wanted something much more creative, you know, and in that way, running a network or running a station was a lot of, I think it was a lot of leadership in a way that I wasn't really called to do it. But I felt as though I had to be compelled to do it because it was such a golden opportunity for me. So I said yes to it. I began to understudy to become a general manager. But along the way, something happened, and that is one of my clients, who is a shopping mall, contacted me and said, there is a soap star that is on your station, I was with CBS, on your station that we would love to have come to Evansville, which is where I was living at the time. It takes us way back, but come to Evansville and do an event in our mall. Now, remember, I was in television sales and I was studying to be a general manager of a network. I really did not see myself as a promotional marketer.
Mm-hmm.
But life was giving me this incredible opportunity to learn what promotional marketing is and how do you maneuver and navigate your way through building an audience. How do you truly connect with an audience so that your message becomes extremely memorable? I used to call it, you know, creating fans out of the program, out of the event, out of their experience with you. And mm-hmm. I needed to learn, how do I sell merchandise, because the silk star coming in was also a recording artist. And his name is mm-hmm. Michael Damian. Anybody that knows Michael Damian from The Young and the Restless, he played Danny Romolotti. He's not on the show anymore, but he was a very, very popular star on the show. And CBS Young and the Restless happened to be the number one show on the air. So I had mm-hmm. some good material to work with. But remember, I did not know promotional marketing. I knew advertising and I knew management because that's what I was studying. But I did not know promotional marketing. But I was put in a position to have to learn it. And I, you know, I'm kind of one of those, a bit of a rebel. I mean, anybody that knows me knows I'm a little bit of a rebel. Meaning, if the opportunity shows up, I'm just crazy enough to say, yes, I'm going to do this. So I went about the business, Amy, I'm going to tell you, of creating what I thought a promotional marketing campaign would be. How would that be successful? How could I create collaborative partners with other advertising vehicles such as radio and newspaper? How could I partner mm-hmm. my station with other advertisers? How could I get sponsors? How could I create a register to win event that would really engage the audience there? How could I really make this a story that everybody wanted to stop wherever they were and take part in what I was talking about? And do you know, Amy, it worked. It worked. It was like the entire, you know, in my memory now, of course, it was mm-hmm. like they were, you know, out the doors, lining the streets. But the truth is that the entire mall was packed. It was really full. It was incredibly successful. And what's wild is that I had never done it before. But I looked like I had done it before because I was bold enough to say, life has given me this opportunity. You know, so I think that's the first question that we have to always ask ourselves is, what is life providing me the opportunity to learn? What is life providing me the opportunity to understand some gifts and talents that I've yet to really expose to the world? Or, you know, what is it that's bringing me great joy that I've forgotten about? Some skills that mm-hmm. I haven't forgotten about.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, it happened to be creating a promotional marketing campaign for a soap star. It became very, very successful. This soap star said, when I get my record deal, when I go back, they were called records at the time, when I go back and get my record deal, I'm going to call you and I'm going to hire you to handle my promotional marketing.
Wow.
So I thought, you know, that's, you know, yeah, that's right. He's going to go back to L.A. I'm in Evansville. He's going to get a record deal, forget completely about me. That's never going to happen, right? So 2 weeks later, Amy, guess what? The phone rings. And who do you think it is? Yeah, seriously.
It's Michael. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Who do you think
no
it is?
Way.
And he says, I got my record deal. I want you to come to L.A. I want you to start, you know, I want you to run my promotional marketing. So now I was at a crossroads, wasn't I? Because here I am understudying to be a general manager of a Gilmore Broadcasting station, and I'm given the opportunity to leave the network, to leave television, and open my own marketing agency with a what could be a very influential first client, right? He
mm-hmm.
has this record deal. He's with A&M, which is not wasn't a small label. It was, you know, he's in Los Angeles. I mean, I was really at a crossroads of do I stay where I am with the security of what I know to be,
mm-hmm.
although my heart isn't overjoyed with it, or do I leave and believe in the passion that I'm feeling for opening my own company and beginning to start a brand new career? And, you know, you obviously you know the answer to that. As I left, I opened an agency. It was called
mm-hmm.
Celebrity Marketing Group. I
mm-hmm.
quickly changed it to Promotion Management Network because I saw that there was a bigger name that needed for to be. So I think what I'm saying in this part of the story is that we can't be afraid. You know, we cannot be afraid to let go and allow a more expansive opportunity to show up. And
mm-hmm.
when I left television, people really thought I was crazy. I think they did because I was, you know, I was at the top of my game. And I was having a big career breakthrough here. I'd just been promoted or had the opportunity to run a station. And
mm-hmm.
that was kind of a big deal to a lot of people there, but it wasn't as big a deal to me as it was to them, I realized. And I had to make the choice to say, even if I look crazy, I'm going to leave, I'm going to stop, I'm going to resign, and I'm going to open my own agency. And I did it. I left. I opened a small office in Evansville, and
mm-hmm.
I started running Michael's promotional marketing, as well as I opened an ad agency. So some of my clients, I was able to represent them and continue to work with my clients that I had in television and just manage more of their advertising. But that's how I started my first marketing agency.
Wow.
And it didn't come from me sitting, you know, thinking, oh, this is a good idea. It actually started with me saying, I'm a little bit scared, but this grand opportunity has been given to me. I'm going to go for it. And I think that we all need to hear that right now. Any of us that have been in that, you know, that place of do I stay with kind of making me, you know, kind of feeling fulfilled here, but not 100%. Kind of feel like
mm-hmm.
a stretch is happening and something great is wanting to come through me. Or there's a new idea that's been sitting on the shelf that maybe it's time to bring that idea down and kind of dust it off and play with it and take it out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, it's really a good time for all of us to look at the choices that we're making and are we feeling from that, you know, taking action from that place of real love, of sincere creativity
right.
in our work.
Well, and I love what you said about just being so aware that your heart just wasn't in it. You know, when you were given that opportunity, you're like, okay, I'm going to go for it for the GM opportunity, the understudy. But what you said, I love what you said. My heart just wasn't totally in it, but, you know, it's just like, okay, well, I'll think about it, you know. And I can so relate to what you're talking about, and it's funny to me that we're having this conversation, we're doing the speaker series, because I also came from the radio background and advertising sales. And so when you're talking about all this, it just takes me back to those days of being an account executive, you know, and selling advertising. And I also did promotions as well. So I love everything that you're about and talking about this just, again, brings me back. And like you, at some point, I really realized on a deep level, my heart wasn't in it either. You know, I didn't see myself continuing down that path for the rest of my career. And so I think that, you know, there's a reason why we're talking about this. There's a reason why those of you who are listening to us right now talk about this. You may be in a position where your heart isn't really in whatever it is that you're doing, not fully. And so it's important to listen to your heart and know that there may be something else right in front of you, or there might be something that will be presenting itself to you. And again, just like what Marsh was saying, if an opportunity shows up, be aware of that and decide if you're going to just go for it. So Marcia.
You know, and what else is even, you know, as we were, you were speaking, I was thinking, you know, that was a really pivotal moment because I had so much outside influence telling me to stay.
Right.
You know, I had, well, at first I had this sense of responsibility that, you know, this was an opportunity for, you know, women to break into being general managers of television. And, you know, back in the day, that wasn't really prevalent as it is today. And, I, you know, I kind of felt that sense of responsibility there. And then I felt a sense of responsibility to my colleagues that were all about me staying. And, you know, I'm sure I just triggered the heck out of them because I was following a passion or a dream that maybe they did too. Who knows? I mean, some of them did go on to open their own agencies. And because they're really, you know, one thing I will say about television is that it, and advertising, it's an amazing training ground for a lot of different different career fields. It's really great. And but I think my point being is that we've all been at those pivotal moments where there's so much outside influence that says, don't do it. Don't take a chance. Don't don't risk it all. Don't boldly go where we're not willing to go. But, you know, we, you know, stay where you are because it makes us feel all feel safe. And the fact is that I really had no choice. I mean, it was that I just the drive and the call to step into that career was so great. Or my own marketing agency was so great. And, you know, I mean, if we look forward now or looked maybe even just like slightly into the past, is that I've integrated today, you know, what do I do today? I run large promotional marketing campaigns that I really don't call promotional marketing campaigns. I call them a movement. You know, I have learned from running my own marketing agency as I did how to craft and design a program that would engage a lot of people. And how it would support and uplift a lot of people. Had I not left, I mean, if we think back, had I not left television and gone on to own my own agency and run those marketing campaigns for my promotion agency, had I not done that, I really wouldn't have fine-tuned my skill set enough to do what I feel I'm really here to do, which is to lead a program that inspires and supports a global community of women. And I, you know, I just think that we're always on our path, Amy. We've always, life is always showing us the next great doorway for us to get the skill set and to see our real passion and to see our abilities in new light so that we can stand in our power in a greater way and make a larger contribution. And it really is up to us to say that's okay when I make those bold choices and I'm willing to do that.
So can you expand a little bit more about this? I really can appreciate what you're talking about, creating a movement and really living your purpose. And so since there's a lot of newer entrepreneurs and coaches that are listening right now that really want to make a difference in their life, you know, not just on the business side of things, but intertwined really is that living on purpose and creating that movement. Can you expand on that and share how our entrepreneurs can go about taking those steps in that direction that you have done?
Yes, I'd love to. I'm just inspired by the idea of women uplifting and inspiring and creating massive community and forward movement through the leadership of a movement. And what that is what? How is that? The question would be: how is that different than running a business? I see running a movement as a bigger picture idea. It's what you absolutely stand for. What does Amy absolutely stand for that you would, you know, just get you up off your, you know, off your couch and standing tall or get you out of your seat in an audience? And you can feel it. You can just feel it when it kicks in, can't you? I mean,
absolutely.
It's, you know, when it's happening. So the question would be that many times our, you know, when we're new entrepreneurs or we're new in business and or we're just simply rebranding and restructuring, and we've all done that before. I've done it multiple times in my career. So it's when we're looking at starting a movement, we really have to understand what is it that I stand for? What is it that you stand for? And what I mean, you really have to go do some deep soul searching. This is beyond branding. This is about saying, I in my heart know that this is something I'm to talk about. And many times, Amy, it's because of our life experience. What has our life experience brought to us? What life education have we been given along the way that has given us a PhD in the conversation about fill in the blank? Like, for example, what is it, Amy, that you feel incredibly passionate about?
I feel incredibly passionate about empowering others to release limiting beliefs and committing to their absolute highest potential.
Great. So living their greatest life, just showing up fully and being having the freedom to be able to create and experience whatever it is that they're looking to experience. So one of the ways that you likely have your background, or I call it your PhD in leading a movement of that nature would be to look at your life experience. And if you look at your life experience, there may be certain ways that you perhaps chose or made an agreement with yourself to limit yourself. And it caused some kind of discomfort for you. And if you start to look at that, you might even be able to narrow down, like as an example, you know, I'm looking to inspire people to have that freedom to live fully creatively expressed. That's essentially what you just said to me. You might, by looking at your life experience, you might even be able to narrow it down. So maybe it's in business. I want people to find the courage and the confidence to be able to live freely in building their business. If they in their heart have a business in their mind that they'd like to build, I want them to be able to have the freedom to do that, and I'm going to help them and support them with the ideas and the resources to be able to do that. And how's that feeling?
That's exactly what I do.
Isn't that great? Okay. So you're actually, it's really, you see, you start to reframe or redefine what the work is you're doing. And the reason I love for us to all do that is because we can get our arms around in a bigger way the work that we're bringing forth in the world. We can start to see that the impact that we're bringing forth and the value that we're bringing forth is impacting a lot more people than just 5 or 10 or 100 clients. It could be impacting millions of people because you're holding the space and you're creating the opportunity for your community, no matter how many is in your community. It doesn't matter. And I know today we're talking to a lot of new entrepreneurs and a lot of new coaches are thinking, oh, what is my movement? How could I ever lead a movement? Or why would anybody even believe that I could run a movement? Well, the answer to that is that you have this life experience. When you really dig into your life story and you start to see, remember what I told about my life story, and I used to run talent contests, right? I mean, they were like things for a day. And I grew up a few feet taller and started doing a movement that was called Amazing Woman's Day. And it went all over the world and impacted 100,000 women in live events. And we, you know, just did a great thing in bringing forth honor and confidence among women. And it was a blast doing it. It was wonderful. You know, whenever I started a movement when I didn't even know what a movement was, I just knew that I had to, you know, I was passionate about taking my desire to up-level or to expand our point of view of our esteem and who we are as creators and be able to put that into a program that women would walk away absolutely on fire about their creativity. And that was what my passion was about and still is today, by the way. I still love this conversation. So, you know, I mean, how can we not love that kind of conversation that we're having, right? It's like, you know, so I think it's about each of us looking at what do I stand for? What has my life experience given me this grand opportunity to learn? And how can I begin to craft a program or a product collection that would support that message in a way that it would influence a larger audience than what I'm even dreaming of maybe today ever connecting with? And so you could call it a movement. But you have to know what you stand for. So when somebody says, what does your movement stand for? You've got to be able to say it in 3 or 4 or 5 words. You've got to be able to really stand for it. Then you've got to show what products do you have to support that movement. You know, how are you providing resources for your community to come together? Just like the program you're doing now, Amy, is exactly a perfect example. It's a resource for the movement that you lead.
Right.
I think that... I think it's time for all of us as women to stand up just a little bit taller in the value of the work that we provide and look at it differently. Look at what you have to be of such value that there are people all over the world waiting to hear from you. And it's the truth. That is the truth.
Right. Wow, well, everything you're saying just gives me the chills, and I'm sure that every life that you touch and those of you who are listening, it's just it's so inspiring. And when I really appreciate you breaking it down in that way so that we can think about, you know, what do you stand for and what have the life experiences and education, like you said, your PhD, right? That's your PhD that have really kind of brought you to where you are now. And when you brought that up, I mean, it just really – really hit home for me, and I can think of specific times in my life that have led to today and why I'm so passionate about this, you know, and why I'm doing what I'm doing, and I'm always open to learning more about that, which is I'm sure why you and I have connected, because I think I was meant to hear this message, and those of you who are listening, you're meant to hear this message, so I'm just a little bit speechless on what you just said.
Annie, as you were speaking, I was hearing you know, sometimes our life experience and the immense value that we've been gifted through those experiences are very easy to overlook or diminish. They're very easy for us to do that. I don't know why it is, but it's just the case. And when, you know, I say, just look at your life experience and whatever's there, you know, really value it. But what I really mean to say is look at your life experience as though you're seeing it with brand new eyes. That maybe you're not going through the perception of what you've chosen to define that life experience as. But today you're looking at that life experience and you're saying, what gifts did this life experience bring to me that I am now able to use in the work that I'm here sharing today? Mm-hmm. And I believe that if you go back, all of us, you know, I mean, it's inspiring me to grab a notepad when we hang up and do it for myself again. It's that let me look at my life experience and let me value it in a new way, with brand new eyes. Let me start over. Let me look at that life experience and let me see how have I diminished that life experience, where the fact is that part of that life experience is what makes me the great coach that I am today, or it makes me the great leader that I am today, or it makes me the great well-being expert that I am today. Whatever your point of focus is for your career expression, look at your life experience from those eyes and begin to see that that is of such value. One of the things 99% of my clients ask me is, how will somebody ever see me as an expert? And I'm like, are you kidding? Let me repeat back to you all of your life experience. Nobody can go buy this stuff. You know, we can't go buy this experience in a book somewhere. It's like it is, you know, no one is a better teacher than someone that has had firsthand experience with something. So that, if we forgot everything that we were talking about today, I think that we could all remember that our life is so rich and so filled with so much experience that makes us the experts that we are, and we've just simply forgotten it or diminished it, undervalued it in a way that kind of steals our real power. And I think it's time for all of us to go back and revalue so we can stand taller in those gifts.
Absolutely. And you know, when you're talking about this, it's also making me think about how it's, in other words, it is those life experiences that have hopefully revealed themselves to you in order to create whatever you're supposed to do while you're here, right? I mean, we wouldn't go through them, both the ups and the downs, both the joyful and painful experiences, if it wasn't part of this purpose, I mean, this purposeful living. I think that sometimes when people look back, they look at maybe their career experience or their education, but you're talking way beyond that, aren't you?
Oh, much deeper. You know, the education comes to, the education comes to add value, and I'm not diminishing that at all, because I think education is incredible, and that's what, you know, we must have. But also, I think if we've forgotten to look at our life experiences and how valuable how much value they've brought in preparing us for the work that we're here to do, or I call it our sacred work. I mean, you look back at your life as something that's incredibly sacred. I mean, I pray that we can all do that, that we look back and we say, wow, what a sacred life I've had, meaning that these experiences have been so rich and filled and with, you know, this abundance of new learning, a new opportunity, and new doorways that have opened. And even walking through those doorways has given me a new sense of courage and confidence, and, you know, standing taller in my ability to lead, in looking at some of the simplest ways. I remember once, I was, this is when I was running my marketing agency, and I was invited to be the PTA president. I had sons. I have two fabulous sons that I adore. Any of you that are friends of mine on Facebook, you probably know by now because you see me posting that these they're adult sons, but I just, you know, a mom's a mom. You've got to be proud, right? So when they were young, I was invited to be PTA president. And Amy, I'm going to tell you the truth. I thought, why in the world would they want me to be a president of the PTA? That sounds like leadership. And like, why would they even think of me? But that was giving me the opportunity, even though I said no to it because I was, you know, immersed in my building this business that I'd said yes to, but that I was being given, life was giving me this reflection back that said, you're being looked at as a leader. Mm-hmm. You know, time for you to revalue, time for you to take a, you know, do a little of an assessment. And are you considering yourself as a leader? And if you are, how are you considering yourself as a leader? And if you are not, in what ways are you undervaluing or diminishing your power as a leader? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that we have life experiences after life. I could just go on and on and on and on. You can imagine, because I do this work all the time, I've done it with my own life, and really looked at all of these life experiences that have been giving me this, I guess, just the pathway, right? Mm-hmm. Giving you the pathway, giving anybody listening the pathway to standing in your power in a greater way. But we first have to go back and really honor it and hold great esteem around it.
Right. Wow, so powerful. So let's bring it to present day, because I know I could talk to you all day about all these amazing breakthrough moments, but I'd love to bring it to present day. So what are you focusing on now in your business and in your life?
Oh, you know, I'm on fire here with this call to lead movement. You know, I'm just on fire with it. And you know, I'm going to tell you the truth. There's days that I wake up and think, oh, my goodness, did I say yes to something bigger than what, you know, I'm capable of? Or it's like, am I? And by the time my feet hit the floor, I'm going to tell you that I am at it again. I'm like so enthused. And so, you know, that self-talk goes completely away, disappears, and I'm like on it. And the reason I'm on it is that I see the number of women who are stepping up and standing in their leadership bigger than ever before, and I just can't stop being inspired by that. It just, I love it. So my current day is called to lead. I have a collection of programs and opportunities that I represent and have created for women to come together to stand in leadership, whether that be through primarily entrepreneurial leadership, business leadership, in media, broadcast leadership. So whatever it will be to move your career and your life forward in a bigger way, and a lot of it, Amy, is around visibility. A lot of it's about us stepping into greater visibility. You know, I was talking to you right before the call about how important it is that we own our ability to be visible in the world and own the power of our voice, and that no matter what, we step into that next level. And so what I'm about is creating those opportunities and the resources for women to share their voice and create greater visibility for their message more than ever before. And so my website is 1millioncalled2015.com. And Amy, on there is a declaration that I gave words to. And the declaration, I knew that when I had written this declaration that it was really a statement of freedom. It was a statement of liberation that would say, yes, I'm willing to stand in my power. Yes, I'm willing to let myself soar. Yes, I'm willing to allow my work to become sacred and step past any kind of fear and into the space of pure faith that, yes, I can do this. And, you know, the declaration itself is, you know, just heart-opening, I just feel. But then what I did is I brought 8 women together for a video that we produced around the declaration, Amy. And I don't know if you've had a chance to see it or not, But what we did is we brought 8 women from all different walks of life. These are all creative entrepreneurs. They're all transformational leaders. They're from all parts of the United States and Canada. And we recorded this video, and it's only 109 seconds long, so it's not very long, a minute and a half. And I just hope you can go watch it. And you can click right through to it on the website. And you can also, you know what else is, you can download you can be sent the PDF of the declaration so you can print it for your wall or for your desk or just read through it and use it as a touchstone to remind you that, yes, you too are called to lead. We're all called to lead. And it ends with the statement, I am an amazing woman and I am called to lead. And I'm going to tell you, that still brings tears to my eyes when I say that. It just kind of chokes me up a little bit. But to say that I am an amazing woman and I am called to lead, I think that's what we're all here to say.
Right. Oh, that's so great. And we'll make sure that that link is on your speaker's page. So everyone, I'm encouraging all of you who are listening to go to 1millioncalled2015.com and download the free declaration poster. Make sure you check that out, as well as check out the video, which I'm going to look at definitely after our interview, because I want to see that. So thank you for that. That's wonderful. And Marsh, a lot of our listeners are, as we were talking about earlier, newer coaches and entrepreneurs that would love to know how to get to that first sweet spot in business of earning $10,000 each month consistently. And so I'm asking each of our experts to share their top 3 tips that our listeners can apply right away in their businesses to work towards that goal, so that from that baseline, they can really focus on a bigger vision and making this, you know, making this impact in the world. So can you share 3 tips with our listeners today to work towards that goal?
Yes, I'd love to. The first one that I would say is get clear on one specific program that you really want to be known for. One of the challenges that I notice a lot of new entrepreneurs and new coaches start with is that they're a little bit all over the map. And we're trying to attract too wide of an audience. So the first thing I would say is get very, very clear on what is that one program that you'd like to offer, and that you can offer it consistently, that you can get some great traction from, and you can get some great testimonials from. Because your testimonials is that ultimately you can fill your practice just simply through referrals, but you've got to get the testimonials, you've got to get the clients in to begin with, right? So be very, very clear on what it is that you want to offer. Create a package around this that can be duplicated over and over and over again. It could be a group program, yes, but also individual coaching. But get clear on what is that message and what is that primary outcome. That would be the second tip. What is the primary result that you are standing for? So if it's launching somebody's business, if it's helping them get clear on their passion, if it's, name your primary outcome that you give someone, meaning what is your promise? When they work with you, what is it that that person that's working with you will receive that will be the shift that they're looking for? If you can be very clear on one specific program that you offer and one or two or three very dynamic outcomes that you become known for, your practice will absolutely soar without any much effort at all, because now what we're doing is being very specific, right? And being willing to stand in that, really anchor in to that one program and that one specific outcome that you're offering. In addition to that, get very, very clear on the consumer, the audience that you're speaking to. Who is the client that you'd like to work with the most? Get very clear on that, because when you get clear on your audience in such an intimate way, your language and everything that you speak about and the direction that you take, whether it be through social media, whether it be through your sales pages, whether it be through your live events and the talks that you do, all of those will become so resonant in the world that people will know immediately what you stand for. So the 3 tips would be, number 1, get very, very clear on what your offering is. Number 2, what is the promise of the outcome that people can understand immediately in 5 or 6 words what it is that you promise to help them or support them with. And number 3 would be, know your audience so intimately that they know you before you even start to speak, because you're very clear on who you enjoy working with the most.
These are really, really good tips, and I wish I had met you about 5 years ago. Because when I look back, and I know I've mentioned this in a couple other of our interviews, but I know that at the very beginning, even with an advertising background, marketing, promotions, where we talk about this, I got all clouded in the head about what I was offering, and it was way too broad and so many different services and a variety and mass appeal, not good, right?
No, it's the more narrow. So sometimes the more narrow we are, the more powerful we are. The platform becomes stronger. Yeah, exactly.
And the more
I hear
focused,
you, though.
Yeah. Once I got really focused and clear, it just became so much easier to explain to people, you know, what it was that I was doing to help others and provide services, and it's just been phenomenal. So really, really, really great tips. So I hope everybody wrote them down. If not, rewind and write it down. Go back to it. So that is really good. And one question for you. When you're talking about that tip number one, about getting really clear on your offering, I've had a lot of clients and entrepreneurs ask, what should they be offering in terms of how they package it? And I know you mentioned a group program or maybe doing one-on-one to really get clear with what that program is. But do you personally have a preference on the types of programs that you produce, whether it be an online course or a membership or a group training program, whether it's live or pre-produced? What format do you prefer?
Well, I'm big on a mastermind program that is a group mm-hmm. program, and then I offer one-on-ones as part of that.
Okay.
So I'm big on complementing both the group program with individual client sessions. I believe that, especially for the type of work I do, now this may not be for everyone, but for the type of work I do, it's so specific that working one-on-one is invaluable. I mean, it's just like we really need the one-on-one work. But I also believe that the group work is invaluable. So I believe in that as well. So the program I developed was provides group as well as one-on-one. And I priced it to where people could get into it. When I first started, I priced it extremely reasonable because I wanted people to get into it. And let's get into it. Let's get some testimonials. Let's get some referrals in. And then you can always raise your price immediately. So you can, I'm not big on, like, you know, creating these massive, highly expensive programs that sit empty. I'm feeling that it's, from my point of view is, let's get a program going that you absolutely love. Let's price it at a place where you feel valued in the work that you're bringing forth, as well as the person that is receiving it feels immense value. So everybody in the room is happy with this. You're feeling valuable. You're not feeling like you're undervaluing your work. But at the same time, you've got your programs filled so that you can start to, especially a new coach, can learn from the experience of coaching itself. You know, there's nothing that teaches us better than, you know, the experience of doing it. So start your programs. I would combine them with one-on-one and some group and get a great community together that will go out and be your cheerleaders and really support you in getting the message out, because they're getting great success. You know, my programs right now are all, and they have been for about the last 3 years, through referral only. And I rarely, you know, I don't even promote much on my website because it's all through referrals. You know, you get I get referrals of who, and then decide who I want to work with. So basically the tips that I gave are exactly what I live by. What kind of program do I want to bring forth? Who do I want to be in that program? Who's my ideal client that I really love to work with? And also, what, you know, what's the promise of the outcome? What kind of outcome do I feel the greatest joy from when I see a client succeed? And then that's exactly what I do, and I do it through group and individual.
So for those who might be interested in working with you, I would love for you to share what is the program that you offer and who you do work with. Can you share that with us?
Yes. The client that I love to work with the most would be a transformational entrepreneur, meaning that they know that they're running their own business, but they also know that they're here to work in the transformational arts in some way. They have very strong in their message. I also work with my higher level program. I work with a lot of movement leaders. So these are women that are already on their way, and they know that they're leading a movement, and how can they engage an audience in a larger way. So I work with both of those types of clients. Transformational entrepreneurs, these could be somebody that's just starting out, but for the most part, it's people that have already been working in the business, and they're just looking to do a course correct or a rebranding or get more clear on their message and their brand so that it could be more fully in alignment. The programs that I have to offer right now are my live events, which are touring starting in, I'm in Los Angeles in April, in May I'm in Toronto and Montreal. And those would be the live events that I'm working with right now. As far as one-on-one clients is what I would have the opportunity to work with privately, and that would be emailing me at marsh@marshengel.com. We do a telephone call to see what you're looking to accomplish and see if I'm the best match for you to do that. Mm-hmm. If I'm not the best match, I'll tell you that and refer you to somebody that might be better than I am at what you're looking to accomplish. Mm-hmm. But I love to work one-on-one, and I do work. My introductory sessions are only 3 sessions, so you can get a lot accomplished in 3 sessions, I found. And this works for me. Amy is mm-hmm. doing a 3-session program, and we want to continue on. That's an opportunity to do that, but a lot can be accomplished in 4 or 5 hours of work with
right.
you. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. You probably know by now I'm a gifted intuitive, and as many, many of us are, and that certainly adds value to my work. I mm-hmm. can tune in and get clarity pretty quick, and that's a lot of fun for me. It also saves us a lot of time, doesn't it, because I can tune in and just, you know, be able to see what kind of creativity is looking to be brought forth right now
right.
or what's standing between, you know, what perhaps is standing between you and that next step. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're going to bump up against those. I don't care where we are in our career.
Right.
So my one-on-one sessions, most definitely, you get the experience of my gifts in that way, but also in the group sessions as well. So I'll be in L.A. April, I think it's the 18th. I may be dating our call right now, but April 18th, I'm in Los Angeles. And then I'm in Toronto May 21st, I believe it is, and then the following weekend in Montreal. But they're all on the 1 Million Called site.
Great.
So the events are listed there.
Wonderful. Well, Marsh, this has been so great chatting with you. And as I suspected, I could continue just really digging in and finding out more about your stories. And you're really inspirational. So I'm sure that everyone who's listening right now has really enjoyed our conversation and hearing from you. And so was there anything else that you wanted to share before we wrap up today?
Yeah, you know, I just would love to say that what a grand opportunity for us it is to remember that right now, Amy, right now in this very second, there are people noticing the difference that you're making in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And what a wonderful way to close the call saying that today I'm willing to recognize that and I'm willing to value that and I'm willing to share my gifts in a bigger way than ever before.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is the first, but you made me tear up.
It's beautiful understanding, isn't it? Beautiful when we can celebrate that for ourselves and for one another.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. It's that, you know, sometimes we can feel isolated, or we can feel that we're, you know, our work isn't being noticed or our voice doesn't matter. And that's why I encourage everybody, go watch that video. I mean, it's going to light you mm-hmm. up. It's going to, you know, it's going to show you that, yes, your voice matters. Yes, you're making a difference. You no longer have to be isolated with that. So together we're going to create a shift where our gifts and talents are valued greater than ever before. And as a matter of fact, right now, somebody's noticing that you're making that difference in their life right now. I guarantee it. And so for all of our coaches and our teachers out there and our transformational leaders and for our well-being experts and all of us that have invested our heart and soul and spirit into our businesses know there's a major shift happening right now and that there is going to be greater ease than ever before beginning right now, right today.
Mm-hmm. Well, that has just been so special, and thank you for that. And it's just, you really touched my heart. So I thank you, and I just feel like there's obviously a reason why you and I have connected, and I really would love to meet you in person one day. So I'm glad.
Oh,
that
I hope so.
Touring,
I would love
I just feel that connection
I'd
with you, and I would love to connect. So Just know that you're so appreciated, and I can tell how passionate you are about empowering others, and I feel that in my heart. So, so thank you again and again for being a part of Miracle Business Breakthrough. This has been such a gift.
Well, I love it. I loved every moment of our time together. Thank you, Amy.
Absolutely. Whew. And to those of you who are listening to our series, I want to thank you for tuning in. And I know that both Marsh and I empower you to break free and turn your small business into your dream business. Take care.